Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 597. Good Lord. Occasionally, I am amazed at that number. And this week, I am here with Chris Calamito. What is up?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. I haven't been paying that close of attention. When we do a Tuesday and a Thursday show, do you number them both?
Correct.
So we could... So we'll be to 600 within 2 weeks, won't we then?
Yes, that is quite potentially what could be happening currently due to the let's just say that homeschooling or hybrid schooling seems to be tough on the parents. I will just leave it at that for my OPA recordings. And so that that may have shelved that. So yeah, the SGAs may get up to 600 in quite a hurry here.
Yeah, no, it could be as early as next Thursday now, right?
Yes, yeah, it could be as early as next Thursday if my plans proceed as they are currently. So yeah, that's pretty fun, especially since, as we've acknowledged, if we actually counted the podcast, we would be well over 600. I wouldn't. I'm not sure. I'd wager a real guess on that, just because since Jeremy and I didn't number the WrestleMania podcast that we've done in the past, the previews. And there were a couple other things that, oh my God, I guess now I'm thinking about some of Dusty's old TNA podcasts. I kind of forgot about that because those were like outside of the Stunt Granny Audio canon, as paltry as it is. But yeah. Yeah, that number could be quite a bit higher, I would wager a guess. And with OPA and We Watch Stuff, which is obviously on hiatus currently, too. Those both almost have 200 shows. So the website as a whole is probably hosted 1,000. I guess that would be kind of wild to go back and count that. I haven't really ever dared to think about trying that, but I could. Anyway, I guess that's probably not terribly important or interesting, except maybe me. One thing that would be interesting to our normal wrestling fans, we definitely were treated to a large reveal this week. And that reveal was that Mustafa Ali is working with Retribution. It is yet to be seen if he is going to be the new spokesperson for Retribution. But he is least, at a minimum, on their side.
He seemed to be directing traffic during that segment.
Yeah, I guess I'm leaning towards he is, the leader. Which is probably for the best. Well, they just kind of need a complete rework of their situation, and I feel like Mustafa Ali could really help bring that change home. Like, he's definitely an underutilized guy that, you know, he has had some injury problems, but... Oh man, that guy can really talk, and his videos on the street and everything, like, if he can bring that kind of flair to Retribution, I'm not going to say that they can pull the Titanic out of the water necessarily, but This does have potential, at least in my opinion. Like, more so than it did when I was pooping on this gimmick a mere 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It makes sense if you follow, who Mustafa Ali is and what he stands for and his, stated frustration with his position within WWE. It makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yes.
He could be a tremendous babyface, but for whatever reason, and you could certainly speculate the reason why, they have never gone full bore with that. So this is probably the best option for him. The leader of Retribution. I do think that this angle has the potential to be saved now.
That will infuse a whole different angle into this. And I guess, in some ways it further exposes how much or how little thought that they had put into Retribution to start with. But I'm glad, I'm really glad that Mustafa Ali has this chance to really sink his teeth into something. At least, again, from those promos that I saw and just from his previous general work, I like his in-ring work. I like his, he has great mic skills and, what's not to like about him? I don't think Dijakovic is a terrible talker, but to be the face of the organization is a little weird. And they could have gone with a spokeswoman, because I would say that Mia Yim Mercedes Martinez hasn't really talked much, has she?
No, not at all. I can't even hear her voice in my head trying to think about it.
I guess they could have had Mia Yim, but she kind of was a little bit of the spokeswoman to start with, at least, since they were establishing some level of, a large-ish faction. I mean, that is still one of these things about Retribution that's kind of unwieldy. Usually if you get beyond four people in a group, things get really cumbersome fast. And I really do hope that they stop at the half dozen. Because when we'd have Mia Yim, Mercedes, Dio, Slapjack, and Mace. So, yeah. Too late.
Yeah,
six. Yeah, because they still had a couple of hangers on there. And I guess it'll be a useful gimmick to bring back that they can kind of have these people attack willy-nilly. But as far as featured members of that group, I really hope it doesn't grow from here, because it'll be interesting to see how they work. And I guess that'll be the most interesting thing to see how they do moving forward. Who's the tag team? They need to establish roles for them now. And, obviously I guess I'm a bit ahead of myself. But, this really has the potential to make something of this angle. And it's nice to be able to give it a chance here.
Yeah, definitely is. As we said, it needed something. It needed a leader. It needed someone to, really, cut the promos and be someone that we've seen on TV frequently, although not as frequently as a lot of people would like, but this is going to change that. I think that, there's There's no fault in doing this right now. It's good for Ali, and it's good for the rest of Retribution. We can, you know, now really start honing in on doing more matches, and fleshing out what exactly their mission statement is, and where they're going to go from here.
Yeah, so that definitely was, and plus I did like that he was tired of being gooned around by the Hurt Business, because, Ricochet is just such a cornball. I don't know if there is there a saving him in the WWE at this point?
Maybe if he joins the Hurt Business? But even, I don't know.
After he turned them down again on this show, like, man, because, yeah, that promo was just not good.
No, he's not. He's a terrible promo. That's why he needs MVP. he's one of the worst promos he may be the worst promo in the company.
Good God, man. Because even this new weird relaxed version of Ricochet is just not hitting at all. Like, I just thought that the WWE wasn't putting him in an advantageous spot, but man, like, he has screwed up enough that I'm just like, okay, you know what? It just is what it is at this point. Like, just shut up and wrestle. Like, oh, man, because that was really bad. But any time that there was a matchup with the three of them, that was a straight-up match with the Hurt Business, more to my point. Like, they did get their asses kicked pretty much every time. Like, why would anyone want to continue to put up with that? You know, like, Ricochet was like, after the match, was like, oh, we're gonna keep on coming back. That's our thing. And I'm like, well, you keep on losing, dude. Like, and it really did take a Retribution moment. And that is the one thing that did work in the turns in Mustafa Ali's favor, too, is that they had, coincidence or not, they have had Retribution interrupt the Hurt Business more than anyone else. It feels like, in my opinion, like, to at least cause them to lose matches. So, like, there is a nice little cause and effect with Ali joining Retribution, who's already kind of monkeyed around a lot with the Hurt Business. And I guess, would that be one reason for Ricochet to join the Hurt Business to help against Retribution?
I could see them doing something like that. Although, right now, there's four male wrestlers on the Retribution side and four male wrestlers on the Hurt Business side, so there really is no need to add anyone else.
Oh, that is a very valid point. And again, I'd be fine. Like, groups more than four really always seem to get weird in wrestling, and they're not terribly common either, really.
Not terribly common, no. But this is that group that's the even more uncommon, possibly never happened before group, where there are women wrestlers mixed in with the group, and not just women managers or valets.
Did Aces and Eights have a female wrestler?
I don't think they did. Come to thinking about it.
Because I was just, they're one that, just because TNA had a lot of good talent then, it would have made sense had there been.
I don't believe there was. Maybe there was.
Yeah, like,
maybe they threw like Sarah slash Victoria in there for a little while? I don't think... That doesn't sound right either.
Yeah, I don't think they did. You know, I do think that there were women involved, but I do think that they were more valet. I wonder if I can...
Okay. Members.
Yeah, this is too interesting not to... Oh, I love that there's a full Wikipedia page on this. Okay. Outstanding. Oh, Brooke.
When the hell did that happen? I have absolutely no memory of that at all.
Oh, that's...
I was in and out of TNA at that point, but that Ace of the Ace, I angled... Just I thought killed the whole company. Actually, at a point where I actually thought they were one of the moments where they were starting to get their shit together. Then they introduced this biker gang gimmick. I have no memory of Brooke in Aces and Eights.
Well, yeah, she was in from the beginning. No,
only August.
Oh, August. Oh. Right.
It started in 2012. Bully Ray wasn't even introduced as the leader until March of 2013, after he left Brooke Hogan at the altar at their wedding.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I needed to flip the dates in there. They went with biggest name for some reason first. Yeah, that's pretty crazy that they may have waited until Brooke to have... I guess I just kind of assumed, like... A, there wouldn't have been too many, like you mentioned, there wouldn't have been too many mixed fashions in that, factions in that department with a female wrestler. And Aces and Eights was one of the few that I would have thought could have pulled that off.
I mean, they did. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, it wasn't for terribly long, though. But she was kind of wrestling a lot at that point, so I would imagine she had in-ring action as a competitor at that juncture. Anywho, but yeah, it is pretty odd that this faction does have women. Like, there are a lot of factors that make... Retribution as a whole more unwieldy than anything I guess we've ever seen. Like, I can't believe that it's crazier than Aces and Eights, honestly, because that's the only other like super large group that I can think of off the top of my head. Like, are there any other like really big factions that...
Well, the NWO grew to the size of a small town.
Well, yeah. Yeah, when you have factions within a faction, it's getting pretty crazy. But I guess I just, you know, that was... Well, and that was kind of weird that no one ever did... Like, it got that big and they did not include any female wrestlers.
No, they did not. Well, WWE didn't. They had a women's division, but they never did anything with it. It was the same thing as WWE's women's division. It was in the 90s. It was Medusa, and then whoever they could bring in to Japan or wherever to fight her.
Oh, yeah, that's a fair enough assessment.
Yeah, so now, women's wrestling was not a priority back then, but it is a priority now, and I could certainly see Mia Yim or Mercedes Martinez making under whatever their names are. I know Mia Yim has been given an official name that, but I don't.
Oh, was that the Shatter? Because I know that Jeremy and I talked about that being a possible name for the two of them, for one of the two of them. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure I've actually seen the official announcement of her name.
They didn't use Shatter, thankfully, because you could use a some type of entendre regarding that.
Oh.
But
let's see. Oh, you're trying to pull it up there.
I'm trying to pull it up there.
That's definitely. I guess. Huh?
Reckoning is Mia Yim's.
Oh.
Name. Retribution name. I do not believe that Mercedes Martinez has been given a name thus far.
Reckoning. Okie dokie. Well, sure, man. They're going kind of weird with these. Like, I know it's a kind of a logical word, but whatever. There are a lot of pieces for Retribution. It'll be interesting to see. Because, I mean, at some point, Mia Yim and Mercedes Martinez have to enter into the women's division, right? Like, I mean, for now, they're just kind of floating out there doing nothing like the rest of the group. Like, there's still, I guess, a long way to go with this thing, too. And how did we get back onto them, though? Just because of all those other Ricochet being a schmuck. Was there anything else? I guess, can Raw get any creepier, by the way, with the whole Aaliyah and Buddy Murphy storyline?
I'm sure they could get plenty creepier.
If I talk,
25 years, I'm sure I could find a lot creepier than that. But no. But to your point, no, it is definitely turning the corner to not good. We talked about, you know, where can you possibly go with this last week, and it's I don't get it at all.
Yeah, because someone's like, someone 13 years her elder, and I'm just like, ah, boy. I was like, yeah, that's pretty rough, guys. I'm not saying it's not not possible to make that work, but you guys are really, really stretching things. I think someone like, what, is Austin Theory like 23 or 24 or something like that?
Yeah.
You might be able to pull off that.
Yeah, no, let's not talk about Austin Theory. He's got his own problems.
Well, what?
A lot younger than 19, let's just say that.
Oh, geez. Okay, did not mean to be making that comparison. I was not going there. I was just meaning, was someone who is a little bit younger than Murphy is at this point in his life. I know that Murphy is not an old man by any means, but yeah, when she's 19 and you're 13 years older than her, it's a little much. But I also occasionally go, oh, I remember that my parents are 8 years different, and that's when they met. So, you know, there's always some leeway to be had, I guess, but whew, that's still a pretty rough one.
Yeah, it's rough. It's awkward because once again, she's not an actress. She's Rey Mysterio's legitimate daughter. You know, it's the whole thing is just weird. I mean, when they first started having the mom and daughter come on TV, you knew it was something was going to happen. Something, you know, some type of. You know, tragedy was going to befall the Mysterio family, but
yeah,
I did not think it was going to be this ongoing soapy storyline that will just keep them coming back week after week after week.
Yeah, I think that's the craziest thing, because I think last week we started marveling at the length of the storyline, and I'm like, man, this thing is really, like, I can't remember a storyline that has gone on for this long in quite some time.
Not really, and I can't either. And once again, I was still last week defending it to a point, but now it's just like this. I don't see what good can come of this now. She turns against her father and her brother and ends up with Seth and Buddy. Well, great. Then what do they do with her?
Oh, and, right.
Is Seth and Buddy's dissension real, or is it a ploy to manipulate Aaliyah? I would venture to guess it's more in that direction.
Right, which doesn't do it doesn't do her any good, honestly. It doesn't do the Ray and Dominic any good to just go, huh, we were right. Like, you're just gloating assholes now.
Yeah, no, it's venturing into that territory of it's not good for anybody. Well, except for maybe, Seth won't get hurt doing any of this.
Oh, no, he's a complete and utter slime ball for causing all of this.
Yeah.
He is the only one that comes out, quote-unquote, looking good. Like, he looks good because he looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I guess the best way for the storyline to end is for Aaliyah to figure out what's going on and do the double-double, swerve to, give her father and her brother the win in whatever the hell the final encounter of this whole thing's going to be. I don't even know how you end it at this point. I really don't. I don't know how you totally get out of this unless someone goes elsewhere in the draft. Which I don't think they're going to do, because they've invested so much time in this already.
That would be so awkward if someone got moved in the draft. Like, that is one of the few storylines that I'm like, nah, like, that's, like, everyone's going. That would be hilarious if on Friday on SmackDown, it's just, like, Raw has drafted the entire Mysterio family. And, like, Aaliyah, and I don't even know what the wife's name is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I couldn't remember, no.
Aren't
they going to let Dominic wrestle anyone else? It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, he's in an endless loop of wrestling Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins. There are worse people to be having to wrestle day in and day out than Seth Rollins and Murphy to really get your feet wet in the WWE. Like, Dominic, more times than not, is probably going to face a downgrade in in-ring acumen. Once he moves on from this feud.
Yeah, most likely. But he does need the experience of wrestling other people. Although, for the moment, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't. Although, I'm certainly... It's not so bad continuing the feud. It's having Dominic wrestle every week against them. That part is also highly unnecessary.
Well, yeah, and at least Humberto Carrillo's gotten thrown back into this little feud. But he doesn't make the situation feel any fresher, really, just because he has been around it, even if he's kind of been away from the feud for a little bit. He's been around it, that he is not a breath of fresh air.
No, he's been beaten up by Seth and Buddy more than anyone.
Yeah, like he should almost be ready to join Retribution with Ali just out of spite for how many times he's been beaten up by Seth and Murphy.
Yeah, he has had, you know, he is just, you know, that's what you get. That's what you get for sticking your nose in other people's business that has nothing to do with you.
Oh, man. One Keith Lee stuck his nose in the business of Braun Strowman, who, do you get the feeling that Braun Strowman is moving to Raw in this upcoming draft, Chris? I guess that's a double question.
I absolutely think that it definitely feels like that completely, yes. Yes, I mean, they did multiple teases of Braun and Keith Lee in the last year between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble. It's an intriguing matchup. I like what they did with them last night. It was you know, physical, big, meaty men slapping meat type stuff that I highly enjoy.
Yeah.
So,
Do we need to say that is Big E trademarked, or are we just allowed to say that?
I think we're allowed to say it. I think it's fine.
Oh, okay. I did just kind of laugh, just because Keith Lee has definitely, and rightfully so, been kind of thrown in with the big boys right off the bat in his Raw career. And taking on, you know, Braun Strowman is another one of those matches. And I just keep on laughing because he keeps on having someone interfere in all of his matches. So they keep on ending up in a DQ of some manner. And this was even an exhibition match, and it ended in a double count out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's getting a mix with top names, but other than the one match with Randy Orton, not really getting to beat anybody. But he's still in the mix. He's been featured, you know, every week on TV. And as I said, I think this feud could be a mutually beneficial feud. You know, Keith Lee needs to be in the mix with top guys, mixing it up with the other big guys as well, and holding his own, and, you know, hopefully, you know, scoring a big win down the line. And Braun Strowman certainly needs a reboot and to be made relevant again.
Yeah, and he's Keith Lee is definitely a fresh opponent for a lot of big guys. And Braun Strowman, just he's definitely one of those guys that they have limited his opponent pool just really out of sheer like they've done such a good job just in general booking Braun Strowman that you can't just have him take on regular-sized guys.
Well, they did a great job booking Braun Strowman until maybe sometime in the last year or so.
Like, it's kind of crazy that the worst thing that happened to him was Roman Reigns stepping aside and him winning the championship. Things might have been going downhill before that, but weirdly enough, like, winning the championship was a nail in the coffin for his how things were going with his career. Like, that's a really weird statement to make, but I think it's fairly accurate.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, no, it was certainly of an example of you know, the man makes the title. The title doesn't make the man. And, yeah, no one really was feeling that Braun title reign. Yeah, it came a couple of years too late. But now we can at least, some of the best stuff they've done with Braun over the years is him colliding with the other big guys. And it's sometimes big guy versus big guy matches don't go well. But with Braun, they've made it work on multiple occasions, and I see them making it work here. I think this is the right way to go.
Yeah. Like, I guess agree with your statement off the top that it is mutually beneficial to both of them. You know, Keith Lee definitely needs to be mixing it up with those types of guys. And, it could possibly be a Braun Strowman reboot. And, you know, maybe Braun does get another crack at or another bout with Dabba Kato somewhere down the line. I mean, I think he had a somewhat decisive win to start with, but that would definitely be a fresh feud for Braun to find himself in. And I would imagine that at some point when T-Bar is out of this whole weird retribution gimmick that Braun Strowman might have a match with him too.
Yeah, they could certainly do that as well. Yeah, no.
Braun is
that big guy who works better with other big guys.
Fresh opponents definitely will help Braun as much as anything, because some of the other big guys, like, I'm kind of done watching him fight for quite a while. Like, I really it's probably been a while, but I don't want to see another Roman Reigns Braun Strowman match.
No, I certainly am not interested in that at all either.
So, this one could really work out, but yeah, with Braun Strowman showing up at Raw Underground consistently and now taking on Keith Lee, that definitely seems like a recipe for him to move over. I just see the ladies tag team match, and that was about the only thing that the two sets of ladies matches. But the women were definitely not the front and center of things this evening on Raw, I would wager to say.
No, really? Not at all? No, Asuka has no opponent right now. And which is where I do think that her mixing up with the ladies of Retribution would be a step in the right direction. They're running with Mandy and Dana as a team. You know, I guess that they might be the next in line to face Shayna and Nia. You know, kind of whatever there. Nothing.
Yeah, it is what it is.
About there.
Yeah.
Then you had Shayna and Nia just pretty soundly defeat the Riot Squad without a heck of a lot of trouble. I was not in favor of that match to begin with. There's absolutely nothing that could possibly make me believe that a Liv and Ruby would stand a chance in that affair.
There would have to be a level of bickering that Shayna and Nia Jax have not really shown to this point. Like, not that they get along, but they haven't been, like, completely dysfunctional either. Like, they would have needed to be completely dysfunctional to lose to Liv and Ruby. Like, I mean, even Shayna Baszler looked like she was towering over both of them.
Yes.
And I don't think of Shayna Baszler as particularly large, but... there wasn't a whole lot of threat going on there. When Zelina Vega is, like, the main opponent for Asuka, things are looking a pretty thin in the women's department. Which I guess would help me transition here to NXT TakeOver. Because there was a former champion that did show up at NXT and happened to be female. It was not what any of the pundits guessed. Ember Moon could be used against Asuka, but she is back in NXT.
Yeah, she has joined a absolutely stacked NXT women's roster. You know what? It was a good surprise. Last I heard that, you know, the prognosis on her was she might never wrestle again. So, you know, thumbs up on the swerve there. Hopefully the Tegan Nox situation will turn out to be a similar swerve down the line. It's good to do. She's been out of the ring for quite a long time. If they want to have her shake the ring rust off, I'm sure she could have a hell of a match. If she's healthy, she could have a hell of a match with Io Shirai. So yeah, I liked it. It was good.
Would be unfortunately unsurprised if her eclipse has caused some problems that may be beyond repair. It just doesn't feel like there's a good way to land that move and not really jar your spine.
Likely no. We'll see if she returns to using that or not. That will be interesting to watch.
Because I mean, we definitely have seen people, and I guess I wasn't sure. I had not heard that news that she was to the point of possible retirement. But I mean, I definitely think that Daniel Bryan is an easy example to cite of how he's changed up his offense in the meantime, and even some of the more scary moves that he might do, you definitely see that he does the bumps differently now than he used to do them. So I would imagine that, you know, if she's kind of more in that that mold of things where she can just alter her offense a little bit to be more grounded and to take less punishment, it would probably work out for the best. I mean, I do feel like she might be on the slightly bigger side of the women, so I mean, she could do more of a power game type of situation.
I think she's pretty short.
Well, yeah, but I think as the kids in the most complimentary of ways like to say these days, that she is thick.
That's true. Yes.
I would think that maybe she could go. The first name that popped into my head was Nikki Bella going. Nikki Strong style, and maybe she could use her as a little bit of a pattern for changing up her offense. After definitely a scare of possibly being out of the ring permanently. That one was definitely a surprise because, and I guess it kind of was ruined. I think Jeremy and I talked about Robert Roode possibly being the champion coming back, but when he popped up on SmackDown, I'm like, well, that one's off the board. So I guess I wasn't terribly surprised about, I was surprised by Ember Moon being the person, but, like I said, one of the people was off the boards, and I was not crushed that it was not Bo Dallas, that everyone seemed to be leaning towards. I don't know, maybe he could use a refresh in NXT. He definitely hasn't done anything on the main roster.
I don't know what you do with him. I think his time has come and gone. I don't think there's a repackaging left in him.
Is there anything, I guess, do we want to start with just talking about Oh, man. This is something that is right up my alley. And it's the Capitol Wrestling Center. And I wish I had a lot of words, but I don't have a lot of words because they hyped it up, and I guess I don't find anything hype-worthy in the design of the Capitol Wrestling Center.
They hyped it up like it's going to be like a throwback to really, really old wrestling, and it's just another, Thunderdome light set up with a bunch of screens but some real people, and that fence material around the ring basically turning every match into a cage match. It's weird.
So, and I guess that's why I don't really have that much on it. Like, the reveal definitely did not meet the hype, and it's just okay. Like, is it different? Yes, it visually looks different than Raw or SmackDown, but I guess the chain link just is not doing anything for me. Like, I guess I'm only ready to see that in a cage match or in the UFC or some type of professional fighting environment.
I don't like it either.
I kind of got it back in the day with ECW and that type of thing, but I guess I just feel like that day has kind of come and gone, and I don't need to see fans behind cages. Like, it really doesn't do a whole lot for me. Like, it doesn't really add to the atmosphere, and there really wasn't any design difference. Like, I do find it weird within the Thunderdome that you see screens that are literally below the barricade level. So I guess I did like that all the ones at NXT were up top above the barricade level. But, that's like a 5% better increase, if anything. Like, and that's got to be tough. Like, I don't know. Have you entertained trying to watch that way? Have you even thought about, like, I would imagine, do they have some type of sign up?
They announced sign ups, a day or so before a show, I believe.
I mean, have you thought about watching Raw or SmackDown or anything that way?
Not particularly. Have you?
No. Because I don't almost watch anything on time. It's not something that's really in my wheelhouse. pay-per-view might be one of the few things that I usually watch online, but it'd be so funny because, like, I'd be gone in between matches, you just see an empty camera. I'd be like going to snag another beer or something else, I would definitely be absent some if I did in fact stream it that way. But I don't really have an interest in it. Like, if I'm just going to be basically seeing the same thing that I'm seeing watching it on my television, I'm just going to watch it on my television. Because it's bigger. Doesn't have better resolution, but it's bigger. And that's what matters.
Yeah.
So. No, I really haven't had any interest. And I guess that's our NXT talk. I don't know. This takeover, and you kind of talked about it a little bit last Thursday, that this takeover felt unnecessary and honestly, I guess bringing up Ember Moon is one of the few kind of, like, real noteworthy things that happened on the pay-per-view. It's kind of weird when you have, three championships up for grabs, and none of them change hands? Or four championships?
No, it's just... Yeah, it was four. No, it was four. Yeah, you're right. It was four.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through the results. Four championships, and none of them changed hands. I mean, I'm not saying that one needs to change hands for the pay-per-view to be noteworthy, but, I guess the rush nature of it led to kind of very, to me, expected outcomes in all of the matches. Honestly, I guess retaining wasn't really a surprise. Like, I guess I didn't think Gargano was going to win the North American Championship. I think you and I at least touched a little bit on Io Shirai not losing to LeRae to at least get rid of the Gargano side of things. Santos Escobar, like, it didn't seem like the time for him to lose yet. Like, we both kind of talked about our apathy about him a little bit, or the 205 division in general. But, yeah, like, he didn't seem like it was time for him to lose. Kyle O'Reilly, as much as I like him and want to see him up in that singles division and up kind of in the main event area to help mix things up for NXT... I definitely didn't expect him to win either. Like, did you have an expectation for a title change at this show?
No, I didn't think any of the titles were going to change. I was not surprised in the least. Obviously, the highlight of the show was the quality of the Finn Balor Kyle O'Reilly match, which was absolutely tremendous and probably my favorite NXT main event in quite a while.
Well. Is it the first one that's just been, like, a straight-up match in a while?
Well, I mean, Keith Lee and Karrion Kross didn't have a stipulation, but that's a whole different type of match. And
yeah.
Let's see.
I just feel like, just with a lot of the Gargano and Cole... You know, there was always, as they had fought each other so many times, there seemed to be a lot of stipulations there.
Yeah, there was a lot of stipulations there, yeah.
Is main event angles, just, I guess, in general. So, yeah, Cross and Lee was a straight-up wrestling match. But, yeah, just the nature of those wrestlers led to far different things than we're watching right now. And it was kind of funny. Like, I guess I even thought that Kushida win over Velveteen Dream was kind of an obvious one, too.
Yeah, it was definitely an obvious one, and it's just like, what are they even doing with Velveteen Dream? You know, he just got destroyed. It seems like they're doing an injury angle, like, with him again to take him off TV. It's like, why do you need to keep doing this? Just fire the guy, then. If he's a net negative to your show, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, it's so bizarre because, like, everyone's like, oh, why are they keeping him around? And, like, this is almost like one of those wrestling angles turned into real life wrestling angles where they're actually keeping around Velveteen Dream just a job. And it's just, it just kind of feels like one of those ones, the angle where they always have the lackey, or it's just like, no, I'm not going to fire you. It's more fun to torture you. Mwahahaha. But this is like
he's
more...
still on the payroll. He's not being tortured. That's the way Vince McMahon, it's that McMahon way of always thinking, I guess. But I'm not sure that's what this is, but...
It's definitely.
I like Kushida during that match. I thought he wrestled a completely different style than maybe would be considered his normal, and it's got a different style than anyone else in NXT. So I that part I like. I don't particularly like seeing Dream ever again, but I guess it was somewhat cathartic. The match was done in a way to be cathartic.
Yeah, it definitely was. Like, I'm happy for the outcome. I'm a big fan of Kushida. I guess I can't figure out why. Well, I guess I have figured out why. Helped her from our good friend Steve Williams. Shinsuke is just not trying hard enough to want to be in the top tier. And he's just fine surfing and being a tag team champion at this point.
Right, yeah.
But it definitely, to me, has seemed like Kushida is trying to put something into NXT and hasn't really been getting a whole lot out of it. So I'm quite happy. Like, I guess I've been a Kushida fan for a long time. Like, he's one of those few guys that just because New Japan and Ring of Honor worked together for quite some time, I've been catching a lot of his, you know, at least appearances in Ring of Honor. I'm like, oh man, this guy's really awesome. Like, and I guess I've expected him to be more involved in kind of big angles, and it seems like he's a guy that, you know, with the Finn Balors and Adam Cole and Gargano, like, Kushida kind of fits in with them within their wrestling style and their size. Like, and it seemed odd to me that it's taken him this much time to kind of get some traction. So I'm very excited about that. Like, I feel like he still kind of has a lot to give NXT as far as good in-ring product goes. And like you said, like it was pretty interesting. He definitely brought a different set of working boots to the show. And it'll be they've kind of talked about that in general in his promos. So we'll see if it continues to carry through, but I imagine it will. Is there anything in particular from SmackDown that you want to talk about before we hit the old dusty trail?
Not particularly.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah, I watched the beginning and all of that, and yeah, I didn't feel like there was a whole lot to roll with that one. So yeah. Bell time beer for the evening. I still have some summer beers packed away in my pantry, and I'm gonna slowly get rid of those. Today's beer is from Rock Mill Brewery, which is out in Lancaster, Ohio. They're Petit Saison. They make excellent Belgian beers in the farmhouse style, like no one else quite does in the area. They have not bent to the peer pressure of needing to have everything be hoppy, so I will always like them for that. But this one is a particularly tasty saison. It has a nice light flavor. It's very crisp. It's one of those beers that I think that if you're trying to transition in from craft beers or from like the regular Budweiser type beers, like this type of saison is probably a good way to go. Like, it definitely has a similar flavor, but has a little more body to it. So saison, I think, get your hands on it. They're always underrated tasty without the hops. So, bell time beer of the show there. I am at DeFrango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can. Just spread the word and we will be grateful. Thank you very much. Have a good night, kids.